Wow. What a journey here at Weekend at Effie's. This episode, close to my heart. I'm about to leave for Australia. We're going to talk about Australia. We're going to talk about musicals. We're going to talk about ketamine. We're going to talk about the ghosts of the Showboat Hotel and the changes that it's underwent. We're going to talk about eating exotic food. We're going to talk about Hood Slam. We're going to talk about travel. We're going to talk about, you know, honoring your blessings and not being stressed out by the work that's associated with them. We're going to talk about how TV guys need to stay on TV because they need to stay out of my fucking way. And I do get a little fired up there. And we're going to talk about the joys of our Patreon listeners and our live show coming up at StarCast. And we're going to talk about trying to convince Dennis Rodman to show up. God, please, somebody give me a better contact than what I have. I need you, Dennis Rodman. Weekend at Effies.com. Follow Pitar at Low Sky Dance. Follow me at Effie Lives. And follow the podcast on TikTok, Weekend at Effies. We need 10,000 viewers so we can, 10,000 followers so we can do our live TikTok show.
Yes.
It's going to be great. It's going to be magic. Listen up. We've got a fun episode ahead. Urgent, urgent, alert, alert. I got to go to Australia. I got to leave for Australia in like a few hours. But we made this work.
We made it work.
And you not only made it work, you made me breakfast and chai tea and got me an energy drink.
Look, we had limited time.
You are a blessing.
Thank you.
And Bebop is here. He's going to be hanging out. He just looked at me. Hi, Bebop. Bebop had a wonderful weekend with his sister Cranberry. They hung out. She bit on his face a little bit. He loves it. And then he cuddled with me last night and tried to remove items from my suitcase because he's like, I know you're up to something, you little piece of crap. Get back here. And we cuddled and it was fine. And last night on the stream, I had to still pack stuff. So we just watched both of the previous Effie's Big Gay Brunches.
Oh, nice.
And I got to tell you something, Pitar. I inspired myself. All right. We watched Big Gay Brunch 5 against Maxie Impaler. And I gave an impassioned speech covered in blood that I thought was really important for me to hear from me. I also want to say I've bulked up a lot and I love it. And then we watched Effie's Big Gay Brunch 6 in Los Angeles and I gave an impassioned speech covered in blood and I inspired myself once again. I am in a position where there are many people who are similar to me. I agree. I don't think there's anyone else in the entire world of wrestling who is doing what I am doing. And I think it will take a while for people to realize that. But for me to work as many shows as I'm working, for me to be over and have fans all over the place, for me to be, you know, working for 40-something companies a year, and then to also be running the largest ever LGBTQ, gay-themed, and filled wrestling shows, this is, I have to honor my hard work, I have to take time to rest, but I also have to realize that I'm on the run of a fucking lifetime, Peter, and something impassioned me this weekend. Something really fired me up this weekend. And it was just getting to be a part of these shows. But also, I think I just needed to return to the haunted-ass showboat and see how time has changed. In the same spot where Jimmy Lloyd and Effie and many others bled their blood, there's now a mini golf course and a Pac-Man statue. And there's a water park there now. And the showboat is bustling with life. But I'll tell you, I've been there. I've been there when the showboat was empty. I've been there when the showboat was filthy. I've been there when the showboat was under construction. And now we are in a completely new showboat. And I got to tell you, I had the time of my life. There were things that were different about the showboat. I was in a tower I don't usually stay in. I usually stay in the Bourbon Tower. I was now in the Orleans Tower. We're usually in the carousel room. We were now in the terminal room, which is brand new. Having slight changes to something that you have been a part of a lot of times, and also not being there for the June date and now returning after a very long time to August for homecoming, having a little break helps and having a little time away helps to see how important and magical the showboat is. As they've said before, how does this place even exist? How on the Atlantic City Boardwalk is there a casino that can't have gambling that is now transformed into a water park, go-kart, arcade playground that allows deathmatch wrestling to happen in it? It doesn't make any sense. The rest of Atlantic City does not line up with what's going on at the showboat, and the spirits of the showboat are haunting everything. And I think it's in a better way than I imagined. I think I was haunting myself because I think I was leaning into the parts that were difficult about doing this travel, going to the Showboat. You can't fly into Atlantic City. You got to drive in. You got to wait for somebody to take you. You got to go in the old same building. And now it's all different. And, well, let's rewind. How are you?
Good. Good, actually.
Are you surprised I asked you?
Yeah.
Well, listen, I know slightly. I talk about myself a lot. But I feel like there have been some PTAR shifts that have been bringing you positive energy for something.
Yes.
And I think there's been a lot of reflectiveness of looking around you at maybe your work-life situation and people you're spending time with, where you're kind of able to glide over the bullshit better. And I agree for both of us. I think we're both gliding over the bullshit better.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I'm very excited for Chicago. It's going to be great just to like get
this
away
is
from
huge.
Here for a bit.
This is huge. I'm going to need, not that I just need the exact spelling and the birth date. Okay. I'm getting the ticket today.
Okay.
We're going to be good.
Okay.
We're going to fly home on the same flight, but you're going to be flying in a little late on Friday while I'm in the middle of fighting Kevin Koo and Dom Guarini with my sister, my bussy sister. It'll be fine. It'll be great. We'll get you right to the airport. We have ride people lined up. I have a lot to do this week while I'm in Australia in regards to the Big A Brunch, but I'm going to tell you something. Having a little removal from the whole situation is what I need. I got my complaints out of my system this weekend. I've made some decisions regarding the future of how I'm going to book Big Gay Brunch. There are things about this one that have stressed me out. There are things about this one that have made me excited. And for one instance, did you hear about the huge Big Gay Brunch announcement?
Baby Bop.
Baby Bop. Now, someone said to me this weekend, I figured you already had a plan. All right. I didn't. Okay, I'm going to be completely honest with people here. I like honesty. I'm not throwing anyone under the bus, but I'm going to be honest. I was very, very upset that it felt like if I wasn't promoting every aspect of Big Gay Brunch, that these other LGBTQ talents were not doing their fair share to promote a show. And I understand in some aspects, it feels like they've been booked on the dream show. Wow, to be included. This is great. In other aspects, y'all got to promote the fucking show. We still have to sell tickets. We still have to sell brunches. We still have to get people in the door, tell them why, let them know it's happening. Last thing I want is for people to not know it's happening. So I said, you know what? Let's see who gets some fucking clout announcing. And I photoshopped Baby Bop on top of someone else's announcement quickly, rapidly at 11 at night. I said, fuck it. I'm going to tweet it. Let's just see what happens. I woke up to 3 news articles about how one of the major stars of Barney and Friends was going to be appearing at the Big Gay Brunch. I woke up to the most likes on any tweet about the Big Gay Brunch, which made me even madder because I was like, God damn it, this stupid joke. I'd even already made an announcement that said Baby Bop had canceled and I did not get to use it. So did I have a plan? Absolutely not. Do I have a plan now? I do. Baby Bop will be at Big Gay Brunch. I wrote that she'll be performing her new single. She will. But she will also be involved in other capacities. I got to tell you, Peter, it is the most Big Gay Brunch thing I could have done.
Just to clarify, I'm not Baby Bop, right?
You are not Baby Bop. No,
this is not Baby Bop.
That's Baby Bebop.
Okay.
Okay, so Baby Bebop, PTAR, Baby Bop is a separate
person.
End
of questions.
And here's the only thing I'm going to say. Baby Bop will be there. You can take pictures with Baby Bop for a nominal fee if you want. But, and this is a big but, Baby Bop has not made a public appearance in over 30 years, okay? Last time you remember, she was a 3-year-old dinosaur baby girl, older brother BJ, Uncle Barney, okay? She was a little girl with a blanket. It's been 30 years, okay? If you judge Baby Bop's appearance, if you judge that she has aged a little bit, if you judge that she has changed with time, all right, you are no better than people who make fun of old divas or make fun of wrestlers who have gotten older. Yeah, they don't look exactly the same, but they are still them and they are still here to perform. And this is a whole new journey for Baby Bop. And I'm very excited to see what she's bringing to the table. And if there's any disrespect of Baby Bop, I have told her she is allowed to use her knife. She used to have a blanket. She now has a knife. So unless you want to get knifed up, I keep it to your fucking self. Because she, to me, is so beautiful. We've had great conversations. We FaceTimed Saturday. And I think she's ready to be in the public spotlight and be a part of the most exciting LGBTQ show. But no, it wasn't Sunny Kiss, star of AEW. It wasn't Pimpinella Escarlata, Legendary Exotico. It wasn't all of these new debuting talents that got the most excitement. It was fucking Baby Bop. So you get what you deserve. I hope it sold tickets. Thank you to all the news sites for picking this up, and then forcing my hand because my hand was forced. Let's be honest. It's all going to work out. Baby Bop will be there. Effie's Big Gay Brunch, Saturday, September 2nd, noon Central Time, live on Fight TV, and PTAR will be in attendance.
Yes.
Give PTAR $5.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Am I nervous for you to see this version of me in action? A little. Because to get something like this done, I'm a little bit of a psychopath. And the whirlwind of that kind of day, I think by Sunday when we do the live podcast, I'll be a little more. But I'm also making you come to my StarCast appearance. We will also be staying at the StarCast Hotel, which is going to be lovely. And we'll get to walk around. This is my favorite part. We'll get to walk around and see all the superstars. And I'll go, you know who that is? And you'll go, no. And I'll go, thank fucking God. Let's go. Let's go. Yeah. And I'll be like, hey, meet PTAR. And they'll go, oh, yeah. And they'll think they're hot shit. And you won't even know who it is. You'll just be like, who is that old person? And I'll be like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Rub it in their ego. Break them down, PTAR.
So are you saying that I should, when I meet people, I should go, so you're also a wrestler?
All y'all are wrestlers? And it's like members of the NWO. Okay, I'm going to look into the camera. Can I do this?
Yeah.
Here's a specific clip. Hi. I spoke with StarCast management this weekend, and I discussed with them how I believe NWO is 4444 life. Folks, I would like to reach out specifically to you, Dennis Rodman. I have been told that you have no interest in attending Big Gay Brunch, not even in a performing capacity, or speaking on stage at our live podcast, but I would like to extend the invitation to you. Dennis Rodman, star of basketball team. I don't watch basketball, but I do watch wrestling, and you were a wonderful member of the NWO. I know there's been some recent controversy. There's always recent controversy with Effie, so come join us. Come have a good time. I've seen you at the Pride Parades. You married yourself. There's beauty in all of this. Come be a weirdo with the rest of us weirdos, Dennis Rodman. Come have fun. Mimosas are on me. We're looking forward to seeing you. I was told to reach out directly, and this is the only way I know how to. Dennis Rodman, you're invited to Effie's Big Gay Brunch Saturday morning. You're invited to Weekend at Effie's Sunday morning. Let's have a good time. How do you think it'll work?
It'll work.
It'll work. I spoke with the other main representative of StarCast besides Conrad Thompson, and this is Steve with I'm not getting into all that, but we had a good conversation homecoming weekend, and I'm not going to do this in order, and I don't care anymore. And they were excited. We were discussing things, and I dropped a line that I thought he was aware of. And I said, you know, it's crazy that I've been able to wrestle on four continents in all these countries, countless states all over the place. I'm always welcomed with open arms where I go. I'm desired where I go, and I've never been on TV. And he goes, you've never been on TV? And I said, no, I've never been on television. He goes, I didn't know that. And I was like, yeah. He goes, that doesn't really make sense. And I said, I know. And to kind of be able to pop somebody who represents all these TV wrestlers, who handles a lot of their outside bookings, and say like, hey, baby, I'm a true outlaw. There's not many of us. Like, I love Matt Cardona with all my heart. He has a 10-year TV career before he was ever out on the indies. There's a benefit to that. I recognize it. I've never been on TV. Even Nick Gage has been on TV at this point. Joey Janela, of course, has been on TV. Allison has been on TV a couple times. And yeah, part of it is me being a brat. Like I explained in the minisode of being like, I'm not doing it, but I'm sticking to my guns. I'm not on TV. I'm hosting a show on StarCast alongside RJ City, who's hosting a show, Danhausen, who's hosting a show, Jake the Snake Roberts, who's hosting a show, and of course Renee interviewing Tony Khan, which is one of the other shows. Like these are the shows that are the other mix of what's going on. But Sunday at 2 p.m., I'm going to announce now Weekend at Effie's live. We've never done it before. This will be either episode 99 or 100.
We're going to try and make it 100.
We're going to make it 100. And
we're almost there. This is 96 for people that are keeping track.
No, I think this is 97. 96 was the one that showed up the last time. Am I wrong? I'm pulling it up right now.
You're correct. This is 97.
This is 97 episodes of you listening to me talk about this weird world. That listen, you came to the Atlanta show. I get it. One of them, right?
And I went to Fest with you.
Okay, that's something. That's, but it's also, it's its own thing too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is very wrestling centric. Yeah. That was like, wrestling's a part of the fest, you know? Let's do a little, let's have fun in the night. I had a really good time with you at Fest. We had a great time.
That was a good time.
It was a good time. This year it's going
to
be
They're trying hectic. To make us jump in the pool. Do you remember that?
I do.
Yeah.
Should we have?
No.
No.
It was really sad.
So episode 97 is the one you're listening to now. It was really sad. Yeah, it was sad. Episode 98 will be coming out. Episode 99, episode 100. We're going to figure this out. I think it will be. It's also going to be streamed live.
That's
on
crazy.
The Premier Wrestling Network or the Premier Streaming Network. And then we will have the audio put out as well after the fact. So I think it will be episode 100. And what a weird world of timing to have our first live show be the 100th episode of what we're doing. We are going to have some very special guests. Some of them you will know. Some of them you won't. And I think that's awesome.
That's great.
And I think going opposite of what people expect, you know, you're sort of the David Letterman and I'm sort of the person you're interviewing usually in my head.
Right.
Like you're keeping it rolling. I'm checking in. You're answering questions too, though. I'm going to interview you to start this show.
Okay.
About wrestling.
Okay.
After you've attended Big Gay Brunch.
Okay.
I need to put the menu out for Big Gay Brunch that the lovely Megan Rivera is doing. Oh, it's Megan. She's getting married this weekend and then doing the brunch the next weekend.
Damn.
We're going to have vegan options of both the hash and the Daddy's French Toast with the peaches. It's great. Vegan and regular Daddy's French Toast with the peaches. We're going to have the hash. We're going to have the egg frittatas. We're going to have mimosas galore. Get your tickets, please. Get your brunch tickets. You get early entry. You get brunch. It's going to be perfect. But it's also nerve-wracking. And I'm ready to be there. I'm ready to be done with it. I'm ready to celebrate. Usually me giving those speeches at the end of these shows, it's just like kind of just an explosion of like, like that's how it comes across to me. And what's beautiful about it is I've seen the shows, but I don't get to just sit and watch them usually. And last night getting to kind of just sit and watch the shows and realizing how stressful it was backstage, but just seeing a cool show happen.
Your speeches at the end are very Bill Pullman Independence Day.
And I don't plan them. Like I never like, I'm like, and then I'll talk, mm-hmm. but I usually finish the match and I'm like, I gotta say something, you know? So thank you, Bill Pullman. We're gonna fight these aliens.
We're gonna fight these aliens.
Today will be our world's Independence Day. God, RIP Bill Pullman.
I know.
Oh
fuck.
For some reason I was thinking the other day it was Jeff Daniels, who's not dead, but it wasn't. It was Bill Pullman.
Yeah.
Jeff Daniels is not dead, right?
No, Jeff. It's just those interchangeable white guys.
Bill Paxton's also dead.
Bill Paxton, ugh. Bill Pullman, Jeff Daniels, Jack Daniels.
I've been craving watching Twister lately, and I don't know why.
They're making a sequel.
What? Is Jody in there?
She's probably... they're going to Nick Cage Superman her in.
Oh, man. Oh, shucks.
It's called Twisters. It was the first movie I saw in the theater.
Why don't they call it Twister Twister? That was the first movie you saw in theaters? Mm-hmm. That was the first movie I watched on DVD. My mom's friends, when we lived in Myrtle Beach, and they helped a little bit with watching the kids when the parents went away. And they also had a parrot, a pet parrot that would yell at you, and a lot of cool stuff in their house. And they had a surround sound DVD system, and we watched Twister on that. And I was like, this is the future of cinema. I was like 8, and I was just like, oh, my God. Oh, my God.
What's his face from Transformers, The Beasts That Have Risen?
Are you talking about Anthony Ramos?
Mm-hmm. He's in it.
I have such a crush on Anthony Ramos. He, like, cheated on a girl, and people were mad at him, but I just want to say, like, you could still come over, Anthony Ramos, with your little freckles and your beautiful singing voice and your song and dance routine. You know, I'm trying to keep what's Hamilton boy's name? What's his name? He does Moana songs now.
Which one?
The main guy with the ponytail, and he always looks sus. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Oh, that main guy.
I'm keeping him away from my musical.
You know he's a blankie, right?
I don't care what he is. I think he is too full of himself and too Hollywood involved, and I want to keep him away from my musical.
But if you listen to the Blank Check episode he did, he let Ben do a rap at the end.
Anthony Ramos is great, and I'm glad that Lin-Manuel Miranda put him on.
Sorry, I base my perception of people off of their blank check.
Maybe
appearances.
He's great. Maybe we'd get along perfectly. Maybe it's awesome. But there's just always sort of a snide nature to the whole thing that I'm like, don't come near my musical.
It's really funny that you're talking because we have a question about musicals.
Oh, good.
No, musical people are the most pretentious artists out there.
I know.
Like, it's musical people and then painters.
But I also agree that musicals, as corny as they may be, it is sort of, I agree with Marc Maron in the vein that there's something so vulnerable about performing in musicals and just feeling so emotional about something that you have to sing. There's like a, there's a real vulnerability to it.
Maybe I've talked about this, but I've realized that I hum an anxiety song when I'm stressed out.
Ooh,
now.
Is it the same song?
Yeah, it's the same song every time. You
keep
know
it
what
to yourself.
It is?
I don't know. What is it?
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street? All the Twitter accounts that are Sesame Street now, they've now added the Yip Yip Martians. Yip 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 Yip. And so all the other accounts were retweeting them the other day. Turns out Bert and Ernie have separate accounts. And also,
they didn't do like the joint married thing?
No. Also, I'm pretty sure I model my relationships after Bert and Ernie. I'm Ernie, of course, and I'm always seeking a Bert.
You're playing saxophone at 3 a.m?
I am, and I'm always seeking someone that can be like a little bit, I don't want to say like more down than me, but like a little more like grounded in a sense. Because I'm a fantastical little creature who needs to be grounded down and needs to be kind of put in its place and is probably playing with his rubber ducky a little too much, you know?
Yeah.
So
do you feel like you're floating off the ground, like literally?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, just floating around. Yeah, for sure. But AJ is my Bert, and I mean that in only positive ways. You know, Bert was always a little bit, he was more grounded.
So he dropped me off after the key debacle.
I know, I'm sorry. I stole the car, and I just took the keys, and then I disappeared.
And he was like, y'all have two keys. Why don't you just separate them?
I wonder who else said that. Was it you, Peter?
No, I pointed out that I added a carabiner to the mix, and you acted like I was inventing something.
This is genius. Wow, now you can just clip it and unclip it. And I didn't even change pants, and I reach in my pocket, and I go, ah, shit, it was like 12 at night, and I was like, damn it. I said, I think he doesn't work until like 4 tomorrow. I was wrong.
Yeah.
I stole the keys.
It's all good. I had a lovely morning walk. I walked by a very judgmental-looking Hare Krishna on the way into the vape store.
Hare Krishnas can't judge shit, okay?
They're kind of...
We love the spirit of the Hare Krishna chants. But we need y'all to take a fucking breath every once in a while because your songs aren't good. They're not
food's
good
delicious,
songs.
Though.
Oh, I used to have a Hare Krishna lunch in Tallahassee, and the $5 plate you could get of vegan Hare Krishna food that was 2 miles down the street from my office. No one wants to borrow your Hare Krishna food, but like they had the lentils and the like quinoa fluffy casserole and stuff, and it was just always perfect. And then they would have this banana bread, this vegan banana bread. Oh my God. Hare Krishnas know how to cook, but they need to stop singing so fucking loud. I get that chanting's a big part of it, but the songs are not good. Like, I like chanting to myself, but I don't need, like put the tambourine away, dumbass, and clean your fucking robes. Y'all got an odor. Thank God you shave your hair or it'd be the greasiest shit I've ever seen. But, you know, like, I'm not going to be mad at you, but also, like, if we're going to be loud and play music in the park, let's at least have a jazz saxophone or something, you know, not just y'all kind of not hitting any particular key and doing the same song over and over and over. We gotta change the playlist a little bit. Y'all could do something with it, you know? It doesn't have to be this one song for 7 hours. Bebop will bark at them. He doesn't like the song either.
Oh, buddy.
I don't think he likes tambourines. You don't, do you? He doesn't like tambourines. All right, let's start with Friday. We've kind of vibed here. Weekend@effies.com. Please support the Patreon. We had another minisode come out. We've been recording the minisodes first, which I think is helpful. Clears my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
You
also end up getting more real Taylor talk.
You get it raw. Yeah, it got a little raw in there on some stuff. We talked about some cool stuff. I got another video coming out today. We'll have an Australia vlog, which I'm going to try to get some more interviews with people on. A lot of dog footage in this one too, just because I miss them and they're so cute. And I'm also not worried about how I look in these vlogs. Like, there's no appearance check. I just look like a crazy person. So it's kind of nice. I think it's fun. And we've got the extra minisodes. We've got some behind the scenes stuff. We've got dog pics, and you can ask questions on the podcast.
Also, we have a new Movie John movie that we have to watch.
Tell me more.
We should probably figure out the logistics of that.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work.
We'll get back and watch a movie. I'm going to crave
it. Are you familiar with Reanimator?
Kind of.
Okay, we are not watching Reanimator.
Okay.
We're watching movies directed by that director, Stuart Gordon.
Stuart Gordon.
And we have a winner for our poll. If you would like to know this craziness that we're talking about, if you're on our Patreon, you get to vote for a movie that we watch every month.
Every month. We watched Bronson last month. And a lot of penis. We love it.
All thanks to our friends at Movie John who do this for us. Ben, I read your Beau is Afraid review. I'm glad. It seems like you enjoyed it.
Yeah. I just want to say we're pro Beau, okay? And I think I need to see it again now. I've done a little more research. I think there's some deeper sexual misconduct in Beau's past, and I think there's some visuals that send us in that direction.
Interesting.
Yeah, so we're going to point some more things out. We're going to watch it again. We're going to re-review the movie, give it 6 stars, like Dave Meltzer. Fuck Dave Meltzer. I just like, not like as a person, but like, if you think a checklist is what defines how a wrestling match works, if you think you can like checklist and be like, I believe the falsies and the finish made sense and the fans were into it, like, go fuck yourself. It's an emotional journey. It is a manipulation of understanding. It is a creation of emotional reaction and measuring things quantitatively that are emotionally supposed to be stirring is the silliest shit I've ever heard. Imagine like rating carnival tricks, like grow up, you fucking loser. And people now wrestle to that style so that they can get their little ratings instead of wrestling to emotionally manipulating, which I don't mean that in a negative sense, but if you're emotionally manipulating a room, that's how you work a room, and you're not thinking like, for our fourth falsy, we'll extend it this way and we'll raise the stakes in this sense, and then for the finish, we'll do a turnaround here. Girl, if some old man who lives in this house with his mom is giving you stars on a board like you did good in class, that is not the measure of what professional wrestling is. And I stand by that. And I think good, if Dave Meltzer likes the match, good for him. But for us to base our whole life on this one guy putting stars in front of your name, wake up, pal. You're incorrect. We have to move away from this dumbass system. It also creates these situations where you're like, we're in match, we're in minute 18 of the match, and he kicked out at 2. Everybody thinks they got to go 40 minutes in every fucking match they do so they can get their little Dave Meltzer star rating. It's embarrassing. If it's not over in 10 minutes, it's not going to get over in 22. And if that's the guy who likes it the best, I don't care. He is not even paying to be at the show. Sorry, I got fired up.
Okay, we're going to be watching Space Truckers.
Space Truckers! 5 stars!
starring Dennis Hopper, Stephen Dorff, and Charles Dance.
This is, that's a cast.
That is a cast.
Are they in space?
I don't know.
All right,
we're going to find out.
Charles Dance, he was in something we watched recently.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah. He's the old one?
Yeah, he's the old one.
Yeah, there's the old one. He's the old one. And then Stephen Dorff, he doesn't get enough credit.
The love interest in the third Alien movie.
Okay.
The Fincher one.
All right. The Fincher Alien
Which
movie.
I defend fully.
Are you defending the director's cut or are you
defending
the
theatrical cut? I'm defending
the
assembly cut. It's not a director's cut. Oh. He didn't have anything to do with it. It was one of the editors basically said, here's as close as we can get to what Fincher had.
Because he was over it.
Because he won't touch it at this point. Well, like he refuses to come back and do a director's cut.
Grow up.
I don't know.
Grow
I think
up,
he
David
can do
Fincher.
Whatever he wants to do.
He
I watched
can.
Zodiac the other day, and it was just...
It's so good. Zodiac is similar to Oppenheimer in the sense that, like, of course it's about this thing, but it's also just, like, the experience of character growth and watching this interaction is not as important as the actual thing.
Plus, no sex scenes in Zodiac, so all of our Christian TikTokers can enjoy that one.
Yeah, you saw why she was so worried. She found 9-year-old porn on his phone and was worried that... Not of a 9-year-old, like porn from 9 years ago that was on his phone. And she now doesn't trust him to see breasts. Like it was porn from 2013 or 2014 that was on his phone that had just been there. And she snooped through his phone. She found that. And now she wants to make sure that he doesn't see any titties because it's going to send him to hell.
I think the crime is keeping porn on your phone more than anything
else. Well,
he
doesn't have any other choice. He can't like Google it on the family computer. And I just want to say, if your wife is worried about you having porn from 10 years ago on your phone, your sex is probably not that good. Pal, it's time. Get rid of this. Get rid of this person. All these weird virgin Christian marriages. It's like, you ever see a couple that gets married at like 23 and you go, I'm pretty sure they're getting married because he's too horny. And she won't let him smash. Mm-hmm. No offense, like bodily autonomy. I believe in it. You know, you shouldn't give your body away to anyone you don't want to. But if you believe that the magic sky man is worried about who's putting his peen in you, grow the fuck up. Okay. Jesus had sex with over 10,000 people. All right. They don't put that in the Bible, but God told me Jesus was kind of a slut. That's why he wore a dress, so he could get it up real quick. So everybody could, as they said on the Snatch Game in RuPaul, Australia, one of the queens dressed up as gay Jesus. And I was really obviously fascinated by this. And this is the line. When I said I wanted to be bread, this isn't what I meant. literally. That line defined everything that's coming for us, and it inspired me in a magical way. But yeah, just pull that little dress up and let them have a run at you, you know? Deliver those loaves.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, okay. So, I just think you gotta grow up. You gotta let your husband watch a little pornography. All right. If anything, it's beneficial to her because it doesn't sound like she's real interested in having sex. So if he can just go, like, go nut one out in the bathroom so he doesn't bother you all the time, like, rub your eyebrows because it's the only part of you you'll let him touch.
That's called maintenance jerking off. Like,
yeah. Like, just so you're not infecting everyone else with your energy that's incorrect, you know? Also, you know, it's like, I think that if you're scared of what God will think, he's now infected your cums. You know what I mean? Like, it's, are you guilt coming to God? That's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're getting a little crazy. So I went to Oakland, California, and I got to tell you something. I'm trying to find a polite way to say this because I haven't found one yet. Hold on. Let me take this. Hey, what's up? Yeah, we're recording the podcast right now, so I'm going to go up to the airport at like 2:30-ish, and then I fly to Dallas, then I fly to L.A., then I fly to Sydney. So, yeah, I'm going to call you. I'll call you when I'm on my way. Love you. I went to Oakland, California. You don't have to even take that out. I don't care. Are we vibed? Are we good?
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
All right, so... obviously, it was lovely. Me and Sheik got in about the same time. We couldn't get into the hotel, so I sat in the lobby, and I ate food and watched Atlanta. And here's why I'm saying this, because I was thinking a lot about, like, I'm trying to... DoorDash has benefited me in a particular way, which is I like foods from cultures that I'm not a part of, all right? And I'm a very confident person. I approach these things with joy and love, but sometimes there are just certain restaurants where it doesn't make sense for me to go in there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm trying to politely say this.
We've talked about this.
Yeah. So what I want to say is, number one, I had my Creole Haitian pork, which is one of my favorite dishes of all time. And then I landed and I went to the hotel and I ordered Hainanese chicken, which is the Chinese poached chicken dish, but you can only really get it from very traditional Chinese restaurants. It's a very specific dish. And then I watched the episode of Atlanta where Darius finds out the jollof rice place gets gentrified. Right?
Yeah.
So I ordered jollof rice and beef from a strictly Nigerian restaurant in Oakland. And I just want to thank DoorDash because, like, I don't think I would have had the confidence to just go to these places and be like, this is the food I want. This is what I want.
Yeah.
And I respect the cultures and I respect the spaces. And I don't want to be the gentrifier who's entering the space and being like, heard about this dish from Atlanta, the jollof rice and beef. I just want to be able to be like, I want this. I need it. I will tip someone to bring it to me. And I want to do it respectfully. But also, like, I don't want to infect your space with my white boy nature.
It's, yeah, I have to say this cautiously, but as someone that has lived in Africa, Nigerians are a particularly difficult people to deal with just in general.
I love them. I dealt with some of them in Japan for certain things, and everyone was like, be careful of the Nigerians, whatever, they're around there and they're trying to get you to do stuff. And they were wonderful to me,
yeah.
But I can understand, like, there is a cultural difference in the way they communicate and handle things. And it's because they're constantly probably dealing with people trying to be schemers against them too.
It's really, I had the whole conversation with a customer yesterday because they casually mentioned that their ex was a Nigerian and we got into a whole thing. So it's really, I literally had this conversation.
You like have boots on the ground experience being in Kenya, living in Africa. Of a whole different real Nigerian world.
Yeah. And there's something bizarre about everyone from Nigeria where they are plopped out on the planet and automatically think that they are rulers over everything planet.
They may be. All right. They don't say that you give your money to a Tennessee prince, you give your money to a Nigerian prince.
Yeah, exactly. There's something going on. And, like, not to mention, The Weeknd is Nigerian.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah. And he completely carries the vibe of Nigeria with him in his music and that over the top, I am the shit with everything.
Well,
and, like, he is.
I also want to say, sidebar, what fascinates me about humans and the way they peacock, this has everything and nothing to do with it. When someone is heartbroken and does a ton of cocaine, I love that the masculine urge to sing like this is where they head to. Like, you're going to win this woman back. How are you going to do it? I'm going to do a lot of cocaine and I'm going to sing like this and I'm going to whine about it.
It works, though.
It works, though. But it's also like clear human peacocking in a weird sense of like, don't you want to be with a man?
But
who
it's
sings like this?
My favorite Weeknd songs are the ones where you go, oh my God, this is after four nights of no sleep and only cocaine that he recorded this.
Folks, be careful with cocaine. We discussed that. Did we discuss it earlier on this episode?
The minisode, I think.
The minisode, where we were talking about old men doing cocaine leads to politicians grinding their teeth. Stay away from it after the age of 40 for sure. It's not for you. I don't know. It was delicious food. I sat in that hotel room and I ate jollof rice and I ate Hainanese chicken and Sheik had to go to the show a little bit early. So I just got to hang out. I watched Gone Girl again. So I guess I did watch a movie. Really great. Love Gone Girl. Forgot how much I enjoyed it.
A movie you've roasted me for watching.
Did I?
Additionally.
Wait a second. Did
yes.
I? Okay, but all right. But there's
yes,
a difference
I recall you saying,
TV.
Didn't know that was a... Okay, to be fair, I did watch it and then watched it again immediately after, and your comment was, didn't know that was one of those movies.
It's the best role Tyler Perry has ever taken, besides Madea Goes to Jail.
Yeah.
That actually
best Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, for sure.
As, like, straight piece of shit.
Straight piece of shit. But not enough of a piece of shit to deserve his fate, I don't think. Maybe. I don't know. He does force himself on a woman. And kind of, he gives her an ultimatum of, like, you need to have sex with me or get out of my house.
He's everything I don't like about guys.
Yeah, with their security systems and weird mansions and self-importance.
Yeah,
I know. It's too much. It's too much. Yeah, honestly, sorry if I was rude about it. It was also like it was on. I haven't seen it since it came out. And I was like, ooh. And Ben Affleck's so good at playing just like a dipshit slub.
Yes.
That by the time that switch is over and she starts talking, you're just like, eat him up, bitch. And then getting mad that he goes, she's dressed like a librarian and she's got those big old tits that she's covering up. And I'm like, this is real. Maybe she's in the right. I sympathize much more with her on this run than I did the first time when that reveal happened. And I sympathize so much less with Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
And honestly, the ending made way more sense to me this time too, because it was very compromised, but that's how life is. Life is compromised. Life is constantly compromised. So I get to Hood Slam and Hood Slam's so much fun because, like, the last time I was at Hood Slam, I fought Ken from Street Fighter and they said, Effie, I think you should win. And I said, there's no way Effie would defeat Ken from Street Fighter. So I was defeated by Ken from Street Fighter. And this time, it was a little bit different. Now, Dark Sheik and Vipers have been tagging up. There's been a little bit of hot tension between them that is creating some ruffles. And before our match, Sheik abandoned Viperous to deal with me on her own. Number one, I had Pyro, which is sick. Number two, Hoodslam is the only place that does out loud commentary where I enjoy it. I can hear the commentary as I'm wrestling. Number three, I looked beefy as fuck. And I didn't realize, and Viperous didn't realize, how much larger I am than her until we got out there. And she still took me to the limit. I was flying all over the place. We were beating the shit out of each other. It was a magical occasion. People are throwing money at us. We're in a new venue, the Continental Club, which is very nice, very beautiful. And luckily, Dark Sheik knows that putting me early in the show is the way to go, because the later it gets, the more confused I am. So I was match four. Viperous beat me, and Viperous dropped me on my head a bunch of times. And she gave me this pile driver. Can I show you this pile driver?
Yeah.
I know I'm giving you more work, but we're fine. We have time and I want to do it.
It's also Tuesday. We never record on Tuesdays.
Well, I'm not going to be here come Wednesday. My Wednesday doesn't exist this year. I leave Tuesday, I land Thursday.
It's because you spent your birthday in a portal. You're just going to portal it a bunch this year.
Portal. Mm-hmm. Portal.
When are you going to Japan?
So I do GCW October 6th and 7th, and then we leave the 8th. We do three Japan shows. I land in LA, do an LA show, and then I arrive back in Atlanta on the 15th, and I do that rock and roll show at the Eastern. Surprise, surprise. Opening for St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
So cool.
So crazy. And what's crazy is, do you remember what happened the last time I came back from Japan? I went to the Eastern. And I watched Father John Misty.
Weird.
So now I'm coming back from Japan, and I'm going to the Eastern. There's something that's drawing me into that room as soon as I arrive from Japan. And I don't know what it is.
You know the address of that place?
No.
777.
What?
Yes.
Do you think I have to go be with God?
Probably.
All right, let's find this. I wrote Cyprus Effie, which is incorrect. All right, here's one of the moves. Just take that in.
Okay, up on the top rope, holding hands. Oh shit. Somersaulted over.
Yeah, so there's one, but I want to show you this pile driver because it is like, you can tell how small she is in it, and it's awesome. Let's see. Viperous. Keep typing Cyprus. Hold me closer. Where is this? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Spike pile driver.
Oh, God.
Yeah. How's that
look?
That's
just like right on your head.
I got a strong neck.
Yeah.
I got a real strong neck. Let me see. I'm going to watch it for myself. My leg's kicking up in the air. Okay. So yeah, Viperous won. I tried to use Randy Orton moves. He's known as the Viper on Viperous. No effect. And then she did it and beat me because the Viperous can use Viper moves. You know?
It makes sense.
It makes sense. It does make sense. It was a great time. We finished after. We all got Jack in the Box together. And then me and Dark Sheik had to fly out at 5 in the morning to get to Philadelphia to drive to Atlantic City. So we get to the airport. And usually I'm not going to talk about the TSA anymore because I feel like I've drug it out. It's like Seinfeld talking about airplane food. It's just not worth it. But we get to the airport. We check our bags. We get in the line. This old man is behind me and Dark Sheik. And he, as we're loading up the little cart tray, he goes, "Damn the Unabomber. He caused all this." And I couldn't tell if it was a joke because I need to let everyone know. The Unabomber did not cause all this. This is a reactionary George Bush era Dick Cheney post 9/11 reaction. Number one, they've never caught a single terrorist ever. They caught a guy who had materials to make a bomb, and he said, "I'm not doing this till I get to the other side. I'm not blowing up the plane. Chill. I'm doing it when I land," which does not count. They've never caught a single terrorist. They found a lot of water bottles. And this man confidently, I mean, he must have been 70s or 80s, said, "Damn the Unabomber. He's the reason for all this." And Sheik and I looked at ours, like, we just lit, and we were like, I don't think that's why. I don't think that's true. It was the dumbest shit I've ever heard in a TSA line, and it was not from a TSA agent. And I did keep telling the TSA agent, I hope my things make it through the analyzer, which is what the side of the machine that scans was saying. The analyzer will check for everything, right? I don't know. I'm just kind of a dick in a TSA line, especially when it's 4:45 in the morning.
I think the Unabomber was warning us about the analyzer.
Analyzer. It's analyzing me. And then I stand in the thing and I got to get scanned. Opt out, Darius. Opt out. It blew my mind. We made it through. So we land to go to the homecoming. Homecoming starts in Atlantic City at 8 p.m. Doors are at 7 p.m. Me and Dark Sheik land at 4, find Gringo Loco, get our baggage, drive to the rental car place, get in the car, and then we go to Five Guys because I needed a cheeseburger. I ate my cheeseburger before they even got their order. I am a monster. We've had Five Guys together.
It's your Five Guys is, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 gone, guys.
Yeah. If there's meat and cheese on a bun with toppings, it's going down fast. So we stopped. We had a full meal because I was like, we're late. Let's just go eat at Five Guys. We could have gone to Wendy's in the drive-thru. We did not. I wanted fresh meat. We all ate it. Stop that. It was delicious. We arrived at the Showboat at 7 p.m. It took forever to get out there. Maybe 6:45, but really walked in at 7. What is he doing?
He's a hunter. He's a hunting hunter. A fly.
Oh. He ate some kind of mayfly last night, was running around the room, and then he doesn't, like, eat it, though. He just snaps the fly, and then he leaves it. So it's a little bit inconvenient. Does that with bees, too. If you think it's the pesticides and the pollution killing the bees, it's not. It's Bebop, and that's why that's his name. Bebop. We made it to the show in time, and we had a 3-on-3 match with Los Macizos. So it was Thrussy, Dark Sheik, Ali, and Los Macizos. And myself in a crazy 6-person match. We were not given that much time. There was a lot of matches on the show. We got it done. There was a dog collar match. There was a death match. And I said, wait a second, we're match 3. This is good. There's a lot of death match on this show. There won't be glass and blood everywhere. Wrong. Because Nick Gage and Maki Ito versus Cardona and Steph DeLander opened the show. Poor Dark Sheik. She's wearing her Emma Frost themed gear. And early in the match, she goes, am I cut open? And I said, let me look. I'm looking. I'm checking. And I go, no, I think you've just been rolling in blood. She goes, oh. So she doesn't have any cuts on her, but she's just rolling in blood. And it is not fun to do when you're match 3 and there's just glass and blood everywhere. Like, you put your hand on the floor and you go, oh, okay. Oh, that's glass. And,
Jesus.
You know, you say things rudely like, please fucking sweep up. And they try, but really, like, it's broken glass. It's a part of my life. I have to get used to it. It's going to be everywhere. There's blood everywhere. It's fine. We'll live. We won the match. I did a new finisher, which is the same as our old finisher, but we did the electric chair, top rope, rough rider, sack rider, reverse on Cyclope. So his face is getting busted into the ground. And then Dark Sheik hits a leg drop on his neck from the wrong side. 1, 2, 3, victorious. Very fun. Cyclope and Crazy King kissed each other. They said Mexican style, and they kissed each other, and then we kicked him in the face. It was a very fun match. It was a very fun night. I spent time at the table with Ali. We had our new, which we will have internationally, Bussy merch, the Bussy World Tour shirt, and the Bussy Barbie shirt, which we haven't gotten a cease and desist yet. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, we're good. But we will. That's how this is going. I will also have Wrestling as Gay shirts in Australia. I'm quite excited. But by the time this comes out, I will be on the way back from Australia.
Yeah.
Except for our, you know, Patreon listeners, weekend@effies.com. You're going to get this early. Very early this week, all of a sudden. Lots of action. Thank you for listening. Now, after that night, I was, like, pretty tired, pretty over it. But then something magical happened because of the spirit of the Showboat, and I was given a portal, a fungal portal, through the, I don't know, it was right. It was good. I ended up awake a lot later than I thought, and I was awoken the next morning by housekeeping, constantly rapping at the door. Housekeeping. And I was not very nice. I said, go away. I don't need you. Housekeeping. Go away. And then I got a phone call, and they said, you were supposed to check out of this room at 11. And I said, what? And they said, you don't have this room today. And I said, what? And that actually made sense, because the show was really early, and I was leaving right after. I had a hotel that night in Philadelphia. And I said, what? And I had to rush out of the room and downstairs. Another thing I figured out, I love all my fans and supporters. I love all the people that are there. If I have to walk next door to the Hard Rock, it takes me a very long time because everyone wants to stop and see Effie. I had to DoorDash my coffee order because that door to get the DoorDash is in between the tower and the new room. And so it was a very minimal walk. It's no offense to anyone, but also like for me to take a 0.2 mile walk to the Hard Rock is to be stopped by everyone. I also want to say that I had a fungal moment in the Hard Rock Hotel where things were ramping up and it was a little too bright in there. And I'm walking back through with my dinner after the show and I just keep hearing Effie, Effie from all sides of the room. And I just had to keep walking because I was not prepared to socialize in that setting, especially with all those lights and being in a casino. And it was crazy. It was just a lot at once. And I just had to keep walking. So apologies if you saw me there and I didn't stop, but also like honor and respect my journey.
Your fungal moment.
I was standing at the table all night. You can come hang out with me there if you're at the show. But once the show is over, I can't be Effie for that much longer. I have to eat a bacon, egg, and cheese on a roll. You know what I mean? I have to just get my moment. I have to have my time. So we get to the show the next day and they said, you're match 8. And I said, fuck. And then about 20 minutes before they said, will you be match 2? And I said, yeah. So originally, Billy Starks was supposed to be leading her team, the Brat Pack, which is Billy Starks, Starboy Charlie. It originally would have been Nick Wayne, who was in the Brat Pack, but he's on his own journey now. It's good to see him. I do like that he got signed to TV, and all of a sudden he's dressing like a dandy. I was like, it's so nice to see you dressed up, but it's also like the funniest, most I just got signed to a TV contract shit ever. But he was wearing like very Brit style pants and like very nice shirts and stuff. But it's like our little boy's growing up. Like, what a guy. So supposed to be Billy Stark, Starboy Charlie, Leon Slater, 0121 from Birmingham, over from England. Had to stay at Jimmy Lloyd's house all week. Was wearing his Lucid FC gear. And I was like, you know that? And he was like, you know them? And then we took a picture and sent it to them. Love you, Lucid FC. Thank you for the hype gear. It looks more British on British people, I guess, is the point I'm going to make. Like, he was wearing it. I was like, you look like a British. Like, this makes sense. I just think, like, I look like a silly white boy when I wear it. But it's fine. So, and also Brogan Finley. Now, Brogan Finley, I think it's public. I think I can say it. Dates Billy Starks. Brogan Finley's brother, David Finley, is the leader of the Bullet Club in New Japan. Brogan Finley's dad and David Finley's dad is Fit Finley, who you may not recognize, but was a legendary professional wrestler who also had a match with Hornswoggle, the Leprechaun, and he used to carry around a shillelagh and beat people with it. It's awesome. I just keep going up to him and I just quote his dad to him and he doesn't really care. But he's very good at professional wrestling. He's very young, but it's like he's grown up in this so much that his timing is already there. His positioning is already there. He knows when to be greedy and when to not be greedy. Like it's like you forget how young he is. You're like, dude, you're 20 years old and you're this good at wrestling. Your positioning is this good. Like it's unbelievable. And it's nice to know that there are people who get it that young because you're like, sky's the limit for you, kid. We have this match instead with Marcus Mathers joining the team. Because Billy Starks was dealing with an injury that she faced because she's wrestling all the fucking time. And she keeps telling me she's going to take a break. And she's on Ring of Honor. And she's on AEW. And she's on all these indie shows. And I keep running into her. And I go, take a fucking break. You're 18. You've been doing this since you were 15 nonstop. Take a fucking break. So she didn't. And hopefully she feels a little better. But the match worked itself out. Now, I will say, Thrunt as a team, which is Sawyer Wreck, Effie, Alley Catch, and the lovely Dark Sheik all together. It means throat cunt. All the kids in this match are 18 now, so they can hear that. I've wrestled them when they were not 18, and you're like, you want to be a little more cautious about how you say things. But I was like, nah, everybody's 18 now. Fuck you. It's Thrunt. We're the throat cunt, and we're going to fuck you, you stupid idiots. It's nice to be like, we were kind to you. You were a baby. We want to be cautious with you. And then all of a sudden you're like, ah, you're an adult. I'm going to beat your ass. Fuck you. Starboy Charlie, the Denim Dragon, he just won the West Coast Cup. He did New Japan the night before, along with Nick Wayne and Jordan Oliver and some others. I wanted to kick him in the face because he's too cool to be 18, so I did. Brogan Finley, I wanted to kick him in the face because he's just too cool to be 20, so I did. Marcus Mathers, one time he 450'd onto my face and he bruised it and he made my jaw crooked, so I wanted to beat his ass. And I'm looking jacked and sexy in this room. Second, though, the terminal room, we got to get a fan in there. It is the hottest room I've ever been in. And to sit in that room all day, I was drained of liquids and electrolytes. And I was just like, the match was starting and I was soaked. Just soaked head to toe. It fits so many people. It looks awesome. The environment's great. People are screaming. It is so hot. Well, let's just say, not only did I have to take every top rope move from all these fucking children, I also took the move I showed you, Leon Slater's Swanton 450, which he did not do in the match the night before against Alec Price. I said, you gotta give the people what they want. They gotta see this. And then they did, and now it has 20,000 fucking likes on Twitter. And their likes are for him, but it's nice to see my idiot body at the bottom just getting crushed. And this was like, here's the sequence. Starboy Charlie, crazy Spinal Tap spin move. Brogan Finley, giant elbow off the top on me. Marcus Mathers, big Swanton bomb onto me. Then the Swanton 450. This is the fourth dive in a row I've taken. And I also took Leon Slater's over the corner dive. So imagine, I'm on the other side of the corner of the ring, the post. This man just flips over the post onto me on the outside. Insane. Just like the athleticism is unprecedented. What happened? Thrunt won, okay? Thrunt won. We were very rude. The finish we did... top rope leg drop off of me and Allie, leg drop from Sheik, and then Sawyer Rhett came in and Baldo bombed one of them on top of the other one, and we took that victory home. Now, historically, there's been a moment after every Sunday show, which is a little earlier, where I'm walking around going, and Brett has a lot to do. This isn't a Brett issue. Brett has a ton to do. But it's me going, who's taking me to Philly? Who's taking me to Philly? But now we had a conversation about the usefulness of Effie and the usefulness of the discount I get on rental cars. Guess what? I knew who was going to Philly because I was driving the fucking car. So myself.
What car would you get this time?
I rented a Nissan Rogue.
Oh.
It was lovely.
Oh.
So it was me, Dave Prazak, commentary extraordinaire. I believe Scarlett Donovan. Lovely. Love her. And Dragon Kid, who's from Japan and does not speak English. And I was using my translator app to make sure we got them good food and made things easy. Very cool to see someone like Dragon Kid there. They fought Commander. God, Commander is just, I'm polite about it now, but like I have such a crush on Commander and he comes up all the time and he's like, he's too sweet to me. And he's like, I love you, Effie. And I'm like, Commander, mi amor. Like it's, I think he has a wife. I just look at him and I get my little hard eyes and I'm just like, and here's the thing. He's in a mask all the time. I need y'all to know he is just the cutest you've ever seen. And you're just the most cute, strong, handsome, adorable, sweet, kind, loving, handsome, adorable luchador ever. I'm obsessed. And me and Allie kind of argue. She's like, he loves me. And I was like, he loves me. Commander loves me. But he tells both of us he loves us. So I know it's a friendship love, but I can just dream. Okay? He's my amigo. He's a lovely man. And Dragon Kid had a great match with him. I don't care how the match went. I just want to be like, God, look at you. Look at you, Commander. You're just a hottie. All right, I got to stop. I'm getting weird on here, right? Look at my smile. I'm just like, Commander. Oh, Commander. Command me. He's just a very talented luchador too, but also like, stop wearing a mask. You're so handsome. Just the cutest face I've ever seen. These luchadors cover their face up every time. I've never had an instance where it's not like they take the mask off and I go, what are you doing? What are you doing? But I think I also understand, like, as I walk through the Hard Rock and hear people chant my name, like there's a little benefit to them not knowing what your face looks like when you're out in public. I hope it doesn't come to this, but I was thinking in my mental state. When I retire, do I just get extreme plastic surgery so no one knows who I am anymore? Or do I end up missing it and revel in the fact that people still know who I am for my past actions? I think I'm not going to change who I am. I like who I am. But also, like, sometimes you just want a little mask. I still regret not getting the beekeeper suit.
You could get one of those full dog like the guy in Japan.
Oh, yeah. So
yeah,
then
you
I
just
look
be
like
a border collie.
Obvious border collie walking around. Like, I wonder who's in the border collie suit. And they're like, nah, it's Effie. He thinks he's in disguise. Someone will just immediately be like, nah, he thinks he's in disguise. So, no, don't do that. We make it to Philly. We go to bed. We have a good time chatting. Mander's there. Sawyer's there. Scarlett's there. We're just vibing, telling stories. And I have to fly Frontier home, right? Now, I already know this week is going to be, like, I'm going right back to the airport. So, I'm hopeful. And I only picked this flight. I don't usually like flying Frontier. But if I didn't fly this Frontier flight, I would have gotten home much later in the day. There just weren't options in the morning. Number one, my bag was overweight. So at 6 a.m, three times I had to switch stuff over and try to make it fit. I have my carry-on. I have my checked. The checked is at 48 pounds because I'm taking all Allie's merch and my merch and the Bussy merch. Like, there's just a lot in my bag. So I'm moving things around. I'm pacing things. And then it got down to 43 pounds. I said, fuck, I got to move some stuff around. I went back up. I was certain I was correct. And I went to a different lady this time. Because I was like, yeah, let's just see. And it was 41 pounds. And I go, oh, I said, if there's a fee, I'm going to go change it. And she goes, I don't care. And I said, oh, my God. God bless you. Usually you guys are not that nice about this. She let the 41-pound bag go. And then she said, has your flight been delayed? And I said, not yet. And she goes, oh, okay. I go, does it look delayed? She goes, no. And she was lying about that. Because as soon as we got through security, number one, we got to see Mao and Desperado in security, which is very cool. They were there for New Japan. Shout out Mao and Desperado. But as soon as I saw them and was waving, I got switched to a different line. So I couldn't spend more time with them. Mao is so cool. They're both so cool. And it's awesome to see their journey and their growth and their magic. But got switched to a different line, got through, went to take a nap, right? And I set my alarm to wake up for boarding. And when I woke up, we weren't boarding. It was delayed 2 hours. And I, you know, called Aegis. I'm delayed. I'm this. We were supposed to hang out a little bit before I leave. And then I took another nap. And then I woke up and it was delayed again. And it turns out the flight had been sitting on the runway in Atlanta for 3 hours because of some mechanical issue that had to be dealt with. It finally made it there. I did not land until 2 p.m. yesterday. Finally got my bags at like 2:30. Finally got to Aegis' house at 3. Fell the fuck asleep. Woke up at 6:45. He goes, you got to get home and stream. Came straight here, threw on the stream, packed all my shit, made my dreams happen. And now look at us. Here we are.
Here we are about
to go board another flight.
Fuck.
Well, two more flights and then a third flight that's a 16-hour flight. I'm going to say this. Someone asked me, they said, aren't you worried about the flight being so long? Once I get to LA and I can take a bunch of Dramamine, this is the only time my phone is off and I can just sleep. And I'm so excited to just fucking sleep. Maybe I'll wake up after 10 hours and watch a movie. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll just sleep the whole trip. But what a magical thing. These are the times where I can catch up on the rest. All I see ahead of me is naps. And it is beautiful. This weekend, 3 big shows in Australia. My second time this year in Australia. Continent to continent to continent. Shouldn't be happening, like I said. Not a TV guy. Just an indie outlaw. Just a little indie guy. I'm just a little indie guy. And yet, I'm drawing more tickets than you TV idiots who have signed onto contracts where you have to beg backstage to get 6-minute matches, where you have to beg backstage for a spot, where you have to be desperate and come back into my fucking yard because our indie juice is hot. And let me just say this. I'm not going to be direct. I want to kind of end on this before we get to questions. It used to be the indies were the step to get to a contract so people could see you wrestle. Now, all you TV idiots want to come back to the indies because you know we have juice and you think you're benefiting our shows and you're asking for money, 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 money. And I'm at the shows and y'all can't draw for shit. It's people who say, oh, and they were there too. And I know that all the people running these shows are fucking, and I mean this negatively, marks, because they're paying y'all big sums of money, and Effie's coming in for a reasonable price and making it look like y'all are doing some drawing. Let me say this. If TV was so great, y'all wouldn't have to reference when people talk shit about you on the indies. If TV was so great, y'all wouldn't be coming out here to get more clout and get more ring time so that you can go back to TV and look like you're important. If TV was so great, y'all would stay where you were. But instead, you're coming out to my kingdom. And I'm going to be very clear. I'm not coming to your kingdom. I want no part of your kingdom. Your kingdom is impressing dumbass dweebs, nerdy corporate guys, and convincing them to run wrestling, which is outlaw fucking entertainment, through TV advertisers and their morality filters, and you still want to come out and you want to suck the teat of my juicy, juicy nipples. Suck my fucking dick, you group of losers. We can be friends, we can hang out as people, but professionally, I'm fucking on to you, and I'm going to convince everybody of what I know to be true, which is y'all ain't worth the squeeze, y'all ain't worth the financial problems, and if we were such widow indie stars, if we were widow indie people, we wouldn't ever, ever be rude to you or make fun of the next step. But guess what? I pay all my bills, Peter. I take my partner on dates. I take my dog to the vet. I pay my rent, I pay my bills, I pay my electric, I sell my merch, I got a line out the fucking door, and it has nothing to do with television. Welcome to the new generation. I got the internet, I got unlimited distribution, I got fans around the globe, I haven't had a single show I've showed up to where I wasn't desired to be there, where people weren't lined up to meet me. I did Australian radio interviews where they said, "We listen to your podcast, we can't wait to see you." He said, "This is my Lady Gaga moment, I'm so excited to meet you in person." Wake the fuck up. Y'all made the wrong choice and got locked into contracts somewhere that don't give a fuck about you. Kenny Omega and the Bucks, they're doing great. They're going to have their segment. John Moxley's going to have his segment. Britt Baker's going to have her segment. And y'all are over there begging for scraps to get on TV and look important. And when you don't, you're going to come back into my territory and take the money out of the building? Fuck right off. You are not welcome here to me. We do not need you here. I do not need your clout. I do not want to help you get over. I do not want to convince you that you are drawing tickets anymore. And I do not want to hear about the dumbass amount of money you're paid to still have tickets on sale the day of the fucking show. Unless you are specifically invited by me to be there to show off your skills, someone like Sonny Kiss, who I love very much and deserves more shine and more spotlight. If I see you at the shows sneaking around trying to get on and get our money, I will fuck you up. Not where I'd get arrested and I'm doing assault, but I will fuck you up behind your back and make sure that people know you being on our show does not assist us at all. You being on our show does not build the brand at all, and you are wasting time and money in getting in my fucking way. Stay in your fucking zone. You made your choice. I don't want you anywhere around us. I don't want you thinking you're successful. I don't want you eating up what we have created. We do not need you. You need us. How's that, Peter?
I love it. Tired up.
Yeah. Tired and fired up. Of, you know, and that's a line to the promoters too. Stop booking these dudes with no fucking ROI and thinking you should be paying them this money when other people, not just Effie, but other people are doing the work for you. You're idiots. You're idiots. All right. Let's get to some questions,
Peter. Let's do questions. All right. This is from Emily. Effie, got any hot takes on musicals? What musicals are you especially fond of? Which do you hate?
I think I'll try defining gravity and you can hold me down. I just saw Wicked and it was so good. I got to see The Producers on Broadway when I was 15. Very cool. Love it. Love Mel Brooks. I don't even know how The Producers would get over it nowadays. I know they did a movie and everything and Will Ferrell, but you know, the Nazi issue has really become its own thing. And having a Jewish person like Mel Brooks take it on, you know, makes sense. But also like some things are lost in translation now and you just don't know anymore. I really enjoyed that one. I like the classics. I like a good King and I. I like 42nd Street. My aunt and uncle were friends with a guy who was one of the leads in 42nd Street for a while, and he dated Cameron Diaz. And I just thought, like, this is the coolest dude I've ever met. He's in musicals and he's dating Cameron Diaz. Very sick. I love all musicals. I'm trying to get tickets to see Beetlejuice I've wanted to see it since I was co-stars with Alex Brightman on Dead End Paranormal Park, who played Barney the Talking Pug. No, not Barney. Pugsley. Pugsley the Talking Pug. I don't even know the names of the characters on the show. I'm bringing my Pugsley socks to Australia, which I got, which I'm fond of. But, you know, he obviously was the lead Broadway role for a long time. And now it's touring. He's not in it anymore. But I want to see the show. I've listened to the soundtrack. I'm a big Avenue Q fan because I think Muppets should be singing inappropriate songs. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's just a magic vulnerability, like I said, to musicals that you don't find anywhere else. The storytelling is awesome. And it is also just the most like involved version of acting, where you are singing and dancing and hitting marks, and there's group effort, and there's just, it's always long and it's this. Is it a little corny? Yeah, I like that part of it. So take in musicals, go see theater. You know, is it expensive? Sometimes. But I've also gone to local plays, like we went to see Evil Dead, the musical. Very fun, very good, not expensive. And, you know, seeing people try is beautiful. And local theater especially, people are trying. And I think that's magic. So take in theater. It's live theater. Everything we watch nowadays on a screen is great. But to see things in person, there's just something really raw and authentic about it. What about you, Peter? What do you think?
I haven't had anything that's gotten me excited in that department lately. I feel like I'm still like reviewing things from my childhood, like going to see Jesus Christ Superstar with you last year.
How much fun. How much fun was that? And also cheering at a crucifixion. You never get to do that one. Mm-hmm. We had a good time there. That woman said, "Are you drunk?" And I said, "No, I'm just extremely high." I love that you can just say that to old people now. I mean, this is an old woman. She goes, "You already drunk?" I said, "I'm extremely high." "Yes, thank you. Love you, sis. Mwah. Let's have fun. Jesus Christ. He's a superstar." I had a great time.
Okay, this is from Anthony. "Who is the best wrestler turned actor in terms of acting and not financial success?"
Okay, so if you haven't ever seen, what is the name of this movie with Roddy Piper? John Carpenter film.
They Live.
They Live. Mm-hmm. If you haven't seen that, you should.
I'm here to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
Yeah, and I'm all out of bubblegum. And the whole anti-capitalist secret message there is magic. The secret message is through the glasses. Roddy Piper's great. I'm a huge Terry Funk fan. If you saw my Movie John interview about wrestling films, I brought up a lot of Terry Funk roles. Obviously, Roadhouse being one of them that I'm quite fond of severely. But I'm saying all of this to say it's Dave Bautista.
Yeah.
So, like, Knock at the Cabin solidified it for me.
Yeah.
He is so good in that movie. And that movie and The Last Guardians of the Galaxy, he really leans into the fact that he's such a good, like, kind, understanding dad to children. And both of those roles really highlight, like, the nature of how he's this big, tough, giant dude, but he understands how to communicate with small minds and be supportive of them, even if, you know, you might have to kill one of them. It's Dave Bautista. John Cena's trying his best. The Rock is not a good actor. I'll stand by that. I'll say it to his face. Dwayne Johnson, you're not good at acting. You're just good at doing things in one take, and that's something wrestling teaches you, and it saves the studios a lot of money, which is why they can pay you more, because if you can slow down, or if you can speed up the film cycle of making the film, it's actually saves them more money in the end if they just pay you more to do it in one take. Black Adam was not good.
No.
And not many of them have been. And they auto-tuned you for Moana. So what?
We are very soon going to be watching the only good Rock acting role, which is Southland Tales.
I'm ready. I'm not going to brat it. We're just going to do it. We're going to watch Southland Tales. I'm very excited.
We get to see a bleach blonde John Lovitz.
Oh, my God.
Crazy, right?
I'm horny for John Lovitz. Am I? I don't know. I think I should take that back.
Okay, this is from Julie Alexander. "Hi, Effie and Peter. Do you watch Heels?"
All right, so I watched some of Heels, and it was fine. But the recent Stephen Amell shit has made me just, like, turned off by all of it. I will say this. I'm such a dick. They were looking for people for Heels. I sent an email in, and it was just a picture of Effie, and it said, "Hi, it's Effie. I'm in SAG. Let me know when you're ready. And that's the email I sent to them. So I did attempt that, but also like it's fine. But it's also cornball as fuck. You know what I mean? Like, it's a very corny show. And I don't think it does us any favors. But also, like, I've been in those buildings. It's filmed in a lot of places in Georgia that I've been around. So,
wasn't Dylan in an episode?
I think Dylan McQueen was in an episode of Heels. They had a lot of good extras in there that were wrestling, real wrestlers.
Yeah, the guy who eats the food. Your friend that eats food.
Megabyte Ronnie?
Yeah, wasn't he in an episode?
I don't know. He did Dark Side of the Ring and played Magnum T.A. Who is...
So I just see glances from Twitter and then take it as fact.
There were other people in it. Zane Riley, I think, who also did Righteous Gemstones roles in the first two seasons, was in Heels for a bit.
You see that their HBO is trying to get some extra juice from Gemstones right now, and they're doing like a monster truck reality series.
Oh, Lord.
That features the Redeemer.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
And like how they had to go film the Redeemer there and stuff? Sidebar, not that I'm cutting you off here, but I am. There's another Netflix show coming out called The Wrestlers, and it's about OVW.
Okay.
Have you heard about this?
No.
So OVW is this school run by Al Snow, and I just want to say that like it's atrocious. Like the product itself is atrocious, and they really believe that they are hot shit. And they used to be sort of the developmental for WWE, like back in the day. And I guess Al Snow bought it. But the way they're framing this, they're like, one of the most legendary wrestlers ever, Al Snow, bought OVW. And they're trying to like highlight these wrestlers who are like not allowed to wrestle anywhere else. And they have to only wrestle at OVW. And it's cornball as fuck. And it's very like, I always talk about wrestling being an impression of wrestling. And this is like a prime example of that. But I just want to be clear. And I'm only bringing this up to be a dick. Good for wrestling getting on Netflix. I think that's great. Al Snow is not legendary, and the only reason Al Snow ever got over is because of a blowjob joke, where the beginning of his theme song would say, what does everybody want? And it was head. And what does everybody need? And it was head. And he would come out with a mannequin head, which the joke was he's crazy, and so he thinks his mannequin head is his friend. But the secondary joke is that everybody likes oral sex, which is referred to in slang as head. And so this guy's going around teaching seminars on how to work and get reactions when... Everybody was only chanting for him because of an oral sex joke.
Hurt my brain.
Yeah, I know.
It's not good.
No, it's not good. And it's very 1996. And he wrestled before then and was not good or over. And then started doing the blowjob joke in ECW. And then it got over and they brought it to WWE. And it was just a blowjob joke. And he was in the job squad, the jobber squad, which is pin me, pay me. Like, I'm a jobber. My job is to get beat up and make you look good. Like, that was part of the gimmick, too. And so they call him one of the most legendary wrestlers. And you're like, this is a fucking joke. Because I've also watched him give seminars where, like, it sounds like good stuff. And then you realize it's Al Snow saying it. And you're like, bro, you're terrible. Like, what are you talking about? And so now they're framing him as the most legendary wrestler. And I just, like, it's hard when you see that it's going to get mainstream looks. And also, you know the people in the product. And you're going, like, this isn't a good show. This isn't a good company. This is not good for anyone. And I know that they've been kind of political dicks as far as wrestling goes. They had Mitch McConnell show up to a show. Let me just be clear. Mitch McConnell came to OVW and all these dipshits were taking pictures with him. Let me tell you something. If I got a chance to grease the floor when Mitch McConnell's coming in so he trips, I'm going to do it. Sorry. That guy's ruined our country. I don't give a shit. Stop sucking up to politicians because they came to your shitty wrestling show. And Netflix, what are you doing? What are you fucking doing? There's so much better narrative for wrestling out there than OVW.
Yeah.
Ohio Valley Wrestling in Louisville, Kentucky. It's just not. It sounds like I'm mad that I'm not a part of this. I would never be a part of this. If I had to work for OVW to get on Netflix, Go fuck yourself.
You should campaign to be on the second season of Third Body Problem when that comes out.
Oh, yeah. I would love that.
You could totally be one of the psychedelic aliens.
I know. Can I wear like the robe? Can I wear a cool robe and have a beard and dry my body out?
You could be like Einstein or whatever, you know, when they're in the sim.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. When you got to go in the game.
That show is going to be so fucking weird to watch.
I hope it's weird. Three Body Problem,
it's
we're
like
ready.
The fourth adaptation they've made.
Really?
There's a Chinese movie, a TV show, and then another Chinese movie.
Is it not good?
It is heavy on the propaganda end of things, okay. Which is interesting for a book that feels a little
against propaganda
out of that time. Like, I don't, when you read that book, you go, how did they approve this?
Right. And I think it's because people aren't as smart as they think, and they read things and they go like, oh, a celebration of China. And it's like, it's not. It's actually, it sort of shows how it's holding them back in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe we'll see. Someone asked me if I'm going to do more voice acting roles, and I got to prominently say, not while there's a strike going on, brother, which is a great excuse because no one's asked me to do any other voice acting roles. And that's fine right now. It'll work out the way it works out. Big things are opening up. I feel the growth of our spirit happening. And I think once I get through my continental drift here, we're going to make some decisions that I think will be good. I think doing the live podcast is going to help us a bit at StarCast. But I also, I've seen clearly now that I think we're going to do what I think we're going to do, which is I'm going to not wrestle for a month, and we're going to do club shows, and I'm going to talk.
Okay.
And it's going to draw, and you're going to come with me.
Hell yeah.
We're going to take breaks in between. We're not going to kill ourselves, and we're going to pick specific markets, and I'm not going to have to be a part of a bigger show. We're going to be the draws. We're going to bring the people in. My body's going to get a slight rest. This won't happen until mid next year, but I think it's going to happen, and I think people will support it, and I think they'll see how fun and interesting it is to come see us in a live setting.
Your next year is a Mars year. My next year is a Venus year. So we'll be rocking and rolling.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah.
I feel rocking and rolling now, but it's, there's also some shifts happening that I'm like, what's the next step? What's the next place?
Yeah.
And I need this as sort of a reflective point to bring myself back, you know?
Bebop looks like he is over the podcast.
He's just sad I'm leaving. He came and sat right next to me.
Oh, poor buddy. We're going to have a good time, Bob.
Bobby's going to hang out with his sister, Lucy. But he does miss his daddy. I know. He likes to cuddle. We cuddled last night. He's going to be fine. You're going to be fine, Bebop. Do we have any other questions?
Yes, we do.
Sick.
Okay, Emily. How much of wrestling matches are the bookers, promoters playing God and assigning things, and how much is wrestlers making requests / asking to wrestle a specific person?
So, good question. In my case, I've made it a point, and this is once again me being kind of an opinionated brat. I don't choose matches. A promoter asked me what my dream matches are. I said 2 million up front, 2 million when you pin me. I've said that before on the podcast. I don't want to be involved in the booking. I've had promoters ask me before, if you came in for us, what would you want to do? And I say, that's not my fucking job. My job is to show up and be a performer who draws you tickets. I'm not booking the show for you. I'm not telling you my dreams. I'm not letting part of my payment be, oh, fill my scrapbook up in my memories. I don't care anymore. I've done it all. I love it. I love wrestling. I love wrestling everyone. I don't care who I am wrestling. I will never be a wrestler who is making requests. I will never be a wrestler who is asking for specific things. Will it hold me back some? Yeah. But also, I'm a performer who's paid to show up. You tell me what I'm doing. That's your job. I will make the best of it. I will pull the best match out that is right for the situation. I don't want to be involved with it. But are there a lot of guys who are sucking promoter dicks to get matches they want? Yeah, because they don't understand the job. And they want their little scrapbook filled. I even saw a tweet the other day that was like, here's some matches we still want for our scrapbook. And I was like, y'all don't understand this is a job, you fucking losers. I don't think that's the way things are done. I don't think that's the way things should be done. A lot of people do think that's the way it should be done. So when a promoter says, what would you want to do if you came in for us? And my answer is, you're bringing me in, you do that part. They do take a little offense to it sometimes. And I try not to, you know, let that bother me at all. But that's not my job. I don't care about how you book me. I will get over no matter what you put me in. I don't care if I'm match 2, match 8, main event, 20 minutes, 10 minutes. It doesn't matter to me. It will be great. I treat myself like the main event every time. I treat my matches as important no matter what they are. And I don't give a shit who you're putting me in the ring with, as long as they're not making too much more money than me, because they're not going to be more over than me and their merch lines will not be longer than mine. Sorry, bitch. I'm telling it how it is. So no, I don't ask for anything. Many people do. I think if you're going to be a promoter and a booker, that's your job. Otherwise, I'm walking around going, what exactly do you fucking do? I promoted your show and I booked your show and I'm in your show. Why are you here? And I'm not afraid to ask that sort of question. So I need you to prove to me why you should be a part of this by doing your function and doing your job. I'm not doing everything for you. I don't care how I'm booked. I don't care who I'm wrestling. All of y'all are less over than me. So figure it out and get in line.
All right. This is from Julie. Any good hurricane stories or extreme weather stories?
Yes. When I was living in Jacksonville, North Carolina, Hurricane Floyd? Lloyd? Maybe it was Lloyd? Floyd? Lloyd?
Lloyd? Floyd?
Lloyd? I think it was Lloyd. Came through. Big hurricane. Flood waters were sucking the children underground. And that is, we were locked in our house, and luckily the power went out for only a little bit. I think I was I must have been 7 or 8. I don't know. Let's hold up. Let me look at this, the year, because this will make more sense. Obviously, living in Florida, I had a lot of hurricane time, but this was kind of, okay, Floyd. Let me see. Let me make sure on the year. All right, yeah, this is great. 1999, hit the Cape Fear region. Jacksonville's near there. Camp Lejeune, which they're like, the water in Camp Lejeune, people are getting to sue because they're like, did you drink the water from 1952 to 1985? And I'm like, no, but I did from 1995 to 1999. It was better by then. Are we sure? I don't know. It feels like it doesn't just get healthy in a day. I was drinking the water then there. I remember renting all the Star Wars movies when this hurricane came. Like, we went to the Blockbuster, we rented them all on VHS, and I just sat in my house and watched Star Wars movies for 3 days because school was canceled and there was a hurricane. And it was awesome, and it was the best time of my life. And I was a little kid, and I loved it. And then we went and watched more Star Wars in the theaters, and Phantom Menace fucking blew my mind. And if you don't like Phantom Menace, you probably weren't a 9-year-old, but I loved it. And I remember watching all the old Star Wars movies and being like, this is fucking crazy. Let's go. So, yeah, it was a good time. Sorry if you died in that hurricane, but I was born again as a Star Wars fan. You stupid idiots. You shouldn't have gone outside. You should have stayed in your house and not played in the floodwaters. Don't go play in the floodwaters. That's the number one thing. It's gross. It's contaminated. It's bacteria and poop and feces. And you're going to get in that water, and then you're going to get sucked underground in a whirlpool. Okay? Oh, my gosh. These little babies.
All right. We have one more question.
Love it.
I don't have any hurricane extreme weather stories because I grew up in Africa, and we didn't have any of that shit.
But y'all had, like, sometimes Mustafa would appear in the sky to talk to...
Yeah.
To talk to the lions?
Yeah.
As a star set?
Yes.
That's like extreme weather.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen, does it?
Oh, it happened.
Oh, yeah. Hello, it's James Earl Jones. I'm a sky lion now. I love it. I fucking love it.
I was a little star. I've always been obsessed with the stars, though, because when I was a kid, I used to be able to figure out where I was based on the stars.
You got a pretty good view
of
the stars out there, from what I hear, from what I've seen in The Lion King. Hakuna Matata, it means no worries for the rest of your days.
It's true.
Those bugs look juicy they were eating.
Yeah. We used to eat a lot of grasshoppers, just like pick them up and eat them. You know, pull the legs off.
Here's the thing. You pull the legs off. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, I was going to say that part doesn't seem fun. Mm-hmm. I've had like fried crickets, dried crickets, and that's delicious.
So every time that it rained, we would get these things called flying ants. They're really termites with wings, though. And you would pick all the wings off and fry them up in butter and taste like popcorn. Delicious.
And good protein.
Good protein.
Aren't they like over 80% pure protein?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, we got to grow up and start eating bugs because that's the future.
It is the future.
That's like, if we're going to save this planet, we got to stop commercial fishing. We got to stop commercial meat growth. We got to start eating some fucking bugs. Grow up.
We got to figure out what to do with these batteries.
Oh, is that a problem?
That is a problem.
Here's my idea. We'll send them to space with Elon.
Good idea.
Just send them out there.
I love that story about him wrecking his car.
Oh, my God. What an idiot. I listened to a podcast the other day about him just doing ketamine all the time. And I was like, nah, this makes sense. Yeah. I've been offered ketamine many times in my life. There's never been a desire to do ketamine.
I'm not a big fan of those pod drugs.
Pod drugs.
They turn you into like a little baby Moses floating down the river.
I'll admit this now because it's been long enough. In 2010, I did some Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles ecstasy and ketamine at the same time at a music festival. And it felt like I was living in a snow globe.
Yeah.
I don't desire that feeling anymore. Yeah. I don't. It was, they were little Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I took two Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle ecstasy pills, and I took a bunch of ketamine, and it was not a fun day. I did not enjoy it.
Yeah, there was a while in Atlanta where all you could get was like research chemicals instead of actual LSD, and you'd occasionally get one of those pod drugs,
and you're like this isn't shit, what I
got 18 hours of this in front of me.
Just gotta calm down, man. Just gotta calm down and experience it.
Okay, last question. This is from Drugs Delaney.
Hello.
Hi, Effie. Hi, Peter and Pups. How are you? No, for real. How are you?
If you asked me this a week ago, I would have said fucking exhausted and tired of traveling. But something opened up in me this weekend, I think. And
had a little heart opening.
A heart opening and a blessings opening. And yeah, I have a really awesome, fun job. And it is extremely stressful and it wrecks my body. And it is a constant, I am always working, right? Like, I'm in control of my schedule. I come from a workaholic. I'm always working, but I am feeling the joy of it. And I am, the amount of people who came up and said, please still do Big Gay Brunch this weekend. And were giving me love and giving me, affirmation and then affirming myself last night. I feel like, okay, you know what? You're going to take the stress on. You can handle this fine. I feel great. Do I wish I could spend some more time with my partner right now? Yeah, 100%. But I also know that I'm getting to travel the world. I'm in the place. I was walking up the stairs last night with my laundry going, could you imagine when you started wrestling in White Trash Fred's parents' backyard in a ring where you had to scrape the fucking water out of it, that you'd be going to Australia for the second time. You'd be going back to Japan because they want you there. You'd be going to the UK and Germany, the UK twice this year, Germany for the first time. Like, I'm blowing my own mind. There's no rhyme or reason to why this has worked besides effort and kind of luck and timing and taking risks and being the wrestler I would want and not the wrestler they expect you to be. But like, what a blessing to be a part of this in a big way where I am desired and can pay all my bills being an entertainer. What a magic fucking thing. Like, that's crazy. I know. But Lucy doesn't want me to go either. We've got time. So I've got like, I don't even have to leave for another hour and a half. I feel good. I'm packed. I'm ready. I might shower. It's going to be a long time till I shower again. And then I get to land in Australia after sleeping, and I'm going to have one full day of hanging out in Sydney before it's nonstop. Gringo said, we have to fly in between these cities. I said, I'd fucking hope so. They are very far from each other. Australia is not a small place, and we're only on one coast of it. Uh-oh, someone's calling Pitar. Who could it be? Who can it be now? That's an Australian band. Who can it be now? I'm going to a land down under. Someone told me to avoid Vegemite. I love Vegemite. Have you had it?
Yeah, not a fan.
Okay, well, not a fan. Particular flavor. I like funky foods. I like blue cheese. I like yeasty-ass Vegemite.
I had three friends named Peter growing up. One of them was Australian and would try and get me to eat it. And
Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Peter. Peter.
Ate it. Hoping, maybe we'll run into the Crocodile Hunter's family down in Australia. We don't know. Could happen. I got to go to the zoo last time. Blake Christian finally admitted I was walking too fast. Thank God. He tried to play it like we weren't going as fast as possible through a zoo. And then he said, dude, I had to keep up. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Hello. It'll be good. Me, Gringo, Joey, Sawyer, Steph DeLander, Maki Ito, Vikingo, we're all going to Australia.
What a crew.
What a fucking crew. What a crew. I've gotten to spend time with extremely talented, awesome people. I get to come back home and leave 2 days later to run Chicago, to hang out with you in Chicago, to have my own show in Chicago. Someone said, can you imagine being one of the only people shows are named after? And I was like, I can. This is sick. You're right. I'm awesome. I'm vibing. I feel good to answer the question. How about you, Peter?
I feel great.
We're through the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to start celebrating. We have a big fall ahead. What are you doing for Thanksgiving?
Nothing.
All right. I might convince you to come on a journey with me.
Okay.
My mom said, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I said, I'm already booked. So there's some stuff happening. It'll be fun.
Interesting.
We'll see how you like Sargast.
Okay. Okay. I'm
excited. And then we'll see what we pull.
Come say hi to me, but be nice because I will probably be a little overwhelmed.
It's going to be overwhelming for Peter. Please just be kind. Talk to Peter. I'm not putting Peter to work. I'm just letting Peter handle things on the Big Gay Brunch day and look and take it in and have some breakfast. Have some good breakfast.
Have some breakfast.
Let Megan nourish you because she is so good at cooking. I'm so honored to have her do the brunch again. Okay. I love you. I love you.
I love you too. Have a great Australia trip.
I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be great. By the time you're listening to this on the regular feed, I'm already back or on the way. It'll be fine.
In process.
In process.